views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and perhaps even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. 9673, and we'll get you on the program here this evening. And let's go ahead and open our program this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless, Lord, and watch over us. Use the program for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ and encourage believers along the way. And we just thank you again for all you've done. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. And I got a couple things I'm hoping to talk about a little bit here this evening as we go through a couple of things here tonight, and also your calls this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word are welcome at 888-677-9673. Want to remind you as well before we get to our phones here. Got a couple calls coming in, and we'll get to in just a minute. But want to remind you, you can check us out on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al. If you're on Facebook, why don't you check out our page, Live with Pastor Al, and you can like us and follow us there on Facebook, all that sort of stuff. And also, you can find our webpage at Late Night Live. I'm sorry, an old address there. livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and you can get to us there on the internet. You can find some of our old programs there, past programs there, and if you're in an area where you don't hear our Friday afternoon program, we have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock on our home station here, AM 1220 The Word, out of Cleveland, Ohio, and that's also available on there, and some various resources and things. Also, I want to remind you, too, that if you check out our page at livewithpastoral.com, you'll find a couple of books that I have that are there, and one of them in particular, let's see here, just calling it up here, The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures, and you can get that one for free as an ebook if you go there. Let me encourage you to take a look at that if it'll be a blessing to you. It's simply scriptures put in a narrative form, giving us the birth of Christ, and it's Old Testament scriptures, it's parts of the Gospels, it's parts of Paul's letters, various parts of the Bible, but they're put together. There's no added words or anything. It's just simply scripture out of the King James Version of the Bible placed together in a narrative, one complete narrative that takes you through some of the Old Testament prophecies to their fulfillment in the birth of Christ, and certainly the announcement of the angels and all the different things that took place. And it makes a tremendous devotional or inspirational booklet for celebrating Christmas. We read through it every year at our church. And in fact, I want to mention that on December 25th, which is Christmas Day, and it's a Sunday, during our morning service, if you're in northeastern Ohio, we're going to be doing a reading of the birth of Christ as recorded in the scripture, and take a time to share some blessings of the past year and things like that during our morning service at 11 o'clock on Sunday, Christmas Day. And then Sunday night, December 25th, Christmas night, be on the program here with you as well with another live program, Lord willing. So we've got callers calling in, and let's see, we've got our, this is great, we've got our switchboard lit up here, and so be patient with us. I got at least four people waiting right now, and we'll try and get you in order here tonight. I believe we've got David calling in first, and David, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, How you doing?
I am doing well.
Live with Pastor Al.
Glad to have you on tonight.
Okay, I'll try to be brief so I don't take up so much time.
Okay.
Before I get to my question, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe a couple years or so, I went to bed one night and I put you on. I was listening to it and you was talking about, you know, how you talk about the weather a little bit and then get into some news. And you was mentioning, boy, it's sure getting crazy around here. Somebody shot up a Walmart and somebody shot up a police station. I know that's not funny, but it just sounded funny the way you said that. Do you remember that back then?
I know we've hit a bunch of things over the years because we've been doing this for over 10 years. I look back at it sometimes in amazement that for 10 years, every Sunday night, we've been able to do a live program from the exact same studio that I'm sitting in right now. I think the microphone's still the same, but the chair has changed a couple times. But there's been a number of things that have happened over the years, weather stories and things like that. And in northeastern Ohio right now, depending on where you're at, we've got everything from snow to rain to a mixture. And coming up to the station tonight, we started out with snow and a little bit of rain. And when we got here, it was mostly just rain. And some friends of ours living, about a half hour, 45 minutes south of us, they had about an inch of snow in their car already. So, we talk about a lot of things.
What my question is what is there anything that was written like outside the Bible that people wrote down besides the Bible? The reason why I'm asking that question is because the only one that I there's like a Passion of the Christ play that I go to every Easter or whatever.
Right.
And at the end, they roll this screen down. It's really touching. They roll the screen down, and they show how each disciple was killed and the dates and stuff. And the only one that I know that's in the Bible, I think, maybe one other, is Peter that was, you know, crucified on an upside-down cross. And I'm wondering where they're getting that information and if there's, like, other things that was written. And what are those things that was written that are called that maybe people wrote down that agrees with the Bible?
There's a number of things that are written, like Peter being crucified. That comes from some, I think, some tradition and some different things like that. But there was a Roman historian by the name of Josephus who was writing, and he wrote about many of the things that we find in the Bible, in the Gospels, in the book of Acts in particular. There's another guy by the name of Theophilus, I think it is, that Luke writes to, and which is kind of interesting. Luke writes in the Gospel of Luke in the book of Acts, and I mention him, even though he's a part of the Bible. I was just sharing earlier somebody Luke is actually one of the preeminent, if you look at it objectively, one of the preeminent historians of his age. The people that Luke mentions, and this is why I mentioned Luke, he mentions specific individuals, Roman officials, specific place names, and all kinds of extremely particular details that people like Josephus and other Roman records and things of that nature also include in their things. And so there's a lot of overlap in particular with some of the things that Luke wrote with other writings of the day. And like I said, Josephus is the main one that I can think of. There was also something that I was reading about recently called, I believe it's called the Nazareth Stone or something like that. And it was something that was put out shortly after the resurrection of Jesus Christ that essentially was put out in response to the resurrection of Christ. Because remember, when Jesus rose from the dead, rather than show the people the body that was never taken out, they paid the soldiers and they told the Roman soldiers, well, tell people that you fell asleep on the job, which was an offense that could cause them to be killed, and that the The disciples came and stole the bodies while you were sleeping, meaning that they chiseled into the rock and broke the seal and rolled this huge rock out of the way that would take several men using levers to get out of the way. And you didn't wake up for that. And of course, that would have been a capital offense. And they took the body and stole it and ran away with it. And just go tell everybody that. And they gave them a lot of money, probably paid them enough to live on because, you know, their time in the Roman military was over. And they said, if the governor hears about it, we'll take care of it. And that story was commonly repeated, the Bible says. Well, the Nazareth stone is a Roman proclamation that came all the way from Rome saying that it would be punishable by death to open a grave and take the body out, something to that effect. And why would that have been written if they weren't worried about something that alleged to have happened? So, you know, there's a number of things like that, like I said, outside of the Bible. And then, of course, archaeologists have discovered various bits of coin and pottery and writings and plaques and things like that that reference people in the Old Testament. I remember for many years, archaeologists said the Hittites never existed until somebody found the entire Hittite civilization. You know, some archaeologists found it. They said that Abraham... at the time Abraham lived, people didn't know how to read or write, and they weren't much more than cavemen. And then somebody discovered a huge library at Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham had lived before heading to be Judea today, or Israel today. I'm trying to think of the name that I want to say. I want to say Chaldeans, but that's not right. I'm just having a brain freeze on that particular word right now. But anyway, they found a whole library that had such things as property deeds, bill of sales, you know, stuff like that. That certainly, if nobody could read and write, they would make a great effort to record. Right? No, it's because reading and writing was very commonplace at that time. They used a form of cuneiform on these clay cylinders, and so there is a lot of stuff. There's some excellent books out there that you can get. That
I was going to ask you about that, and if there's any way to get like copies or anything of stuff that people wrote that, you know.
Yeah, Josephus is available in print. There's another guy, Philo, I believe, is another guy that was contemporary, I think, of Josephus or similar time frame, and you can find their works in print. There's a book that I'm holding actually right now called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist by Norman Geisler and Frank Turek. And this book here has a section in it that deals exactly with what you're talking about, to a great extent dealing with some of the New Testament writings in particular. And it lists a bunch of independent sources and things that we have that, are outside of the Bible. And so you might find that interesting. You probably find it online, Amazon or something like that. But it's I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist by Norman Geisler. And Geisler is spelled G-E-I-S-L-E-R. And Frank Turek, and that's spelled T-U-R-E-K. So, but it's an excellent book. In fact, I highly recommend it. To both somebody who's a Christian and somebody who's not, as findings. And they deal with a lot of other material there as well, but they do have an excellent section dealing with, you know, some of the outside of the Bible evidences for the truth of the Bible.
Yeah, because I was just wondering, because that play that I go to, Peter is just mentioned in the Bible that I know of, and then they show all the dates and how each disciple was killed and how mm-hmm. they killed, crucified this way or on an X cross or
yeah.
by the caps and sea or mm-hmm. skinned alive and all that.
Yeah, and much of that has to do with people who are, you know, looking at some other histories and stuff, because really not much is, like you said, written about the disciples in the Bible as to how they died and to what happened to them. So, okay. But yeah, that's a great thing to look at.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate the call tonight.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. God bless.
All right. Bye.
And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888 877-977-9673. And we've got Nancy up next. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening. Hello, Nancy. All right, we're missing Nancy here right at the moment. Let's see if we can get her on here. Have we got you, Nancy? Let's put Nancy on hold, and let's try Jeremiah's up next. Jeremiah, welcome to the program here this evening.
Yes, Pastor Al. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Well, every Sunday is a Resurrection Sunday, isn't it, in the life of a Christian? I was talking with somebody at the nursing home, not this week, but I think it was last week, and we were saying something, we were talking about it, and they said, well, every Sunday should, we were talking about Christmas, and I said, every Sunday should be Christmas for a believer, and I said, that's true, and I said, also, every Sunday should be Resurrection Sunday for a believer, and they said, well, that's true, too, and it is, because the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, those are things that make our salvation possible, so you're absolutely right there, Jeremiah.
Now we just got to wait for his coming.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. We're waiting for that.
I have my King James Bible, which I only read, open to the book of Galatians chapter 2.
Galatians chapter 2?
Verse 20.
All righty, let me get turned over there as well. And
it's good to be saved. It's good to be saved and baptized and be glorious in the Lord.
Yeah, here we are, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, where he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's a very good chapter, or very good passage.
Can you tell me what that verse means?
Yes. When we look at this, And we look at, excuse me, a little scratch in my throat here tonight. But Paul is writing here, and he's talking about, here in verse 20, says, I am crucified with Christ. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul did not hang on the cross when Jesus was on the cross. But he, when he said, I'm crucified with Christ, he recognized that when Jesus died on the cross, it was as if Paul was on the cross, and it was as if Jeremiah was on the cross, and it was as if Pastor Al was on the cross. We were there on the cross in, you know, God's consideration, you know, because of our sin, and so we are crucified with Christ. Just like Paul said, we can say, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and of course we're alive here in the flesh, and he says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Pause there for a moment. See, he's identifying himself with Christ dying on the cross, recognize that Christ died for him. And then as a result, because Christ died for him, he recognizes that Christ is now living through him. You know, we understand the resurrection. Jesus died on the cross 3 days, three nights in the grave. He rose from the dead and then later on ascended into heaven. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, Christ now lives through us. Paul wrote in Romans that we have the Spirit of Christ in us, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And so he's living now through us and in us. And, you know, that's why the Bible talks about being yielded to God in our life so that we can allow Christ to live through us. I mean, his Spirit is in us, and we should allow him to live through us even though we're still in the flesh. And we live this life by faith, trusting that God will help us and empower us and give us the ability to live for him. And so we trust that we can now, like Paul said, live in the flesh, a life by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we would not be able to do this if it weren't for the fact that God loved us and gave himself for us, which is what, you know, the famous verse in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well,
it's kind of, I was getting ready to say that verse, actually. Before you mention that,
Yeah, and
you see that God loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.
Yeah, so God lives through us. The Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, who has the title the Son of God, which is a title. It's not Son like in a biological relationship. Christ lives in you and through you because of the faith that you have in God, and he loved you and gave himself for you so that you can live this life of faith and be a witness and testimony for him.
See, in my verse, my King James Bible study, giant print, has a book of Colossians, it has Ephesians 5:2, and a couple other verses in Colossians and Ephesians reference too.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Jeremiah. I appreciate that. God bless. Have a great night. And I think we have Nancy back, don't we? And we're going to try Nancy again here. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Hey. You know, I went out of the room for like 30 seconds when you called my name, but I call back. Now, as we all know, we're entering the Christmas season, and I'm sure bother to or a frustration to a lot of people, the commercialization of Christmas. I'm thinking particularly of children who are really barraged by these TV ads for certain toys or certain things they want for Christmas. And I was just wondering, and I know you have a little granddaughter that's about, I think, a year and a half, and I have a grandson of 6. Now, can you think of a good way to sort of steer them away from materialism of Christmas and just how to communicate with children? I would just really appreciate that. I have heard the idea of like Jesus first, others second, and yourself last.
Right.
But I don't know if children could really comprehend or really be persuaded with that. Thank you.
Well, yeah, and depending on how old the child is and how far along the child is in their mental development and things like that, obviously,
yeah, exactly.
You know, a newborn's not going to respond to much. You know, I remember somebody one time who was talking about their newborn baby only wore Oshkosh because they knew when you put something on them that wasn't Oshkosh and they just didn't like it. And I'm thinking, okay, the child has no comprehension. They're less than 6 months old. They don't know what they're wearing. But so we ingrain some attitudes into our children, you know, because what was happening is the mother did not like to see her child in wearing anything but Oshkosh. And so she would react negatively if somebody tried to give them something other than that or one of the family members might try to put something other than Oshkosh on the child. The child didn't know, but the child, you know, even at that young age, children pick up on things, and they'll pick up on the annoyance of their mother at being dressed in these particular clothes versus the other. And those things start getting instilled in a young age, and that's why the Bible talks about raising up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that's, I think, a good start. And as a sort of a related thing, I had a good friend in the Air Force. Him and his wife were from West Virginia, and we used to have a lot of fun times together. And he's actually partially responsible for me being in the ministry today, but that's a whole other story. But he had some children who were fairly young while we were stationed together in England, and the church that we went to, there was one family in the church who had absolutely nothing to do with Christmas whatsoever. I mean, nothing. No presents, no Christmas tree, no mention of Santa Claus. Then there was another family in the church. This is a little missions church off base where we were stationed. It was at RAF Chicksands, about 60 miles north of London, just a little south of Bedford, England, which is a very nice area. But this other family, when Christmas came along, man, they played it up. They had decorations, and they had gifts from Santa Claus, and they told their kids, you got to be nice. Santa's watching, and Santa's going to know, and he's making a list and checking it twice and all that stuff. And they just went overboard with Santa. And then my friend and his wife, they were kind of in the middle. They took the approach that with their children, they said, well, listen, you know, we know who Jesus is, and we understand what the Bible is and how Jesus was born, and we celebrate his birth on Christmas Day. And they said, but, you know, we have a story that a lot of people like to celebrate and talk about, a guy named Santa Claus who comes and brings the good children, the good little boys and girls toys and things like that. And they told them the story, and so their children were familiar with it. Now, the family in the church that had nothing to do with Santa Claus would say, oh, you're hurting your children by doing this. You shouldn't tell them that. Mm-hmm. And the other family would say, oh, you shouldn't tell them that it's a myth. You should let them enjoy their childhood. And I remember one time that my friend was telling me, he says, you know, are we doing the right thing? And then he said, but then one day after Christmas, he overheard his his younger daughter outside the door talking to another friend, and her friend was saying, oh, Santa brought me this and Santa brought me that for Christmas. And he said his little girl said something to the effect of, and she was probably around maybe preschool, kindergarten age, and she said something to the effect of, you know, you know, I know about Santa Claus and all that, but Santa's make-believe, Jesus is real, but Santa's a nice story. And she understood it,
really,
and he said, you know what, I didn't have any doubts after that, because he said my children got to enjoy the cultural story of Santa Claus and enjoy, you know, talking about Santa, but they knew it wasn't, you know, real, it was made up, and yet they understood it. And yet they were able to separate in their mind and realize that Jesus Christ, on the other hand, is different than Santa Claus. And it wasn't the basis of myth, but there was valid reasons for believing that Jesus was real. And so they were able, at a young age, to be able to understand that. So,
That's very good. Yeah.
So I think children are able to, and parents need to take the road, you know, of certainly getting them to know the Bible at an early age and understanding the truth of the scriptures, and they're not going to understand, you know, what a theophany is at age two, but they can but they can learn things over time. And you build a foundation in them so that as they hear the stories and things, you know, they can understand that some things are stories and they're cultural myths and traditions that we have. And they can be fun, but we distinguish between them and what's written in the Bible. Coming up on the hard break here, Nancy, I want to thank you for that call.
Thank you.
And I got a couple other callers. Hold on, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and certainly want to invite you to visit our church if you're ever in northeastern Ohio, and we are located almost exactly midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off from Interstate 77, actually off from the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80 as well. We're right where they cross, and we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located at 5171 Brecksville Road, and we'd love to have you visit. You can find out more information online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And if you're out on the east side of Cuyahoga County, I encourage you to check out East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road in Garfield Heights, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, if you're outside of the area, or you can be in the area as well, but if you're interested in starting your own pizza business, or maybe you have a restaurant and you're looking for a great pizza recipe, you can contact Gus at East Coast Pizza, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think possible. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe, and he'll help you get started. You can talk with him about that. 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we've got a couple callers have been waiting, and I believe Aaron's been waiting the longest. So, Aaron, welcome to the program tonight.
Hey, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, good evening. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, no problem. You know, I've been struggling with this ever since the results of the election came by.
Right.
Now, this has been a brutal election. You see people, you know, you see races taking sides, but the big thing that you see that I see that's bothered me the most is the church is divided even among the two candidates.
Uh-huh.
So basically, let me ask you just a quick question here.
Yeah.
Would you say that based off of God's standards, there really was only one candidate to vote for?
Well, let me answer that this way. I believe that if your desire was to further Christian liberties and to restrict abortion, and you know, just looking at those two things right there, there was only one candidate. And I'll explain. There were candidates such as the Constitution Party that really had a godly position, but unfortunately, looking at it realistically, we're just simply not going to get elected. I really don't know how many percentage points they had. I don't think it was very much. But what they did was they took votes away from the. See, there's two major party candidates, the Republican and the Democrat. And so what happens, a third party candidate generally takes away votes from the major party candidate that is most closely associated with their positions, okay? So of the two major candidates, you had one candidate whose party platform stood for same-sex marriage, special rights for homosexuals, abortion on demand, ending restrictions on abortion, and things of that nature. Had a candidate who herself said that if churches have anything against same-sex marriage, they need to change their beliefs. No toleration there whatsoever. And then you had another, and that was codified in their party platform, and that's the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton. The other side, you have the Republican Party that had in their platform a defense of marriage, marriage being between a man and a woman, move to protect life and to work towards eliminating abortions and generally favoring Christian liberties in their party platform, and a candidate who voiced those same things, though a flawed candidate to be sure. So one of those two candidates was going to win. And so if your goal, okay, let me take it from the other side. If your goal was to end any restraints on abortion and to overcome any resistance to same-sex marriage and to basically remove the influence of Christianity in the public sphere, then if you voted for Jill Stein of the Labor Party, you actually hindered that from happening and you helped elect Donald Trump. If your goal was to restrict abortion and to defend traditional marriage and biblical view of marriage, then if you voted for the Constitutional Party, you actually hurt that because you were helping to elect Hillary Clinton. So if your goal is to do one of those two things, you should vote for the major candidate that's going to accomplish that. And as a Bible-believing Christian, I made the choice. I mean, I'm willing to admit it. I voted for Donald Trump. He was not my first choice. He was about choice number 17 of the Republicans, actually number 16, because I think I would have picked him over Ohio's Governor John Kasich. Excuse me. But
right.
So I picked him because I wanted to pick somebody where we had the best chance of putting justices on the Supreme Court that might potentially one day overturn Roe versus Wade and that might support Christian liberties. And he was basically the only choice there. Flawed candidate to be sure, but I'm always reminded of the fact that when Jerusalem was falling and the Babylonians were laying siege to Jerusalem, and you had a pagan king in the person of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians, God referred to Nebuchadnezzar as his servant.
Right.
True. So God could use a pagan king and a pagan kingdom to accomplish his will. Also, when Paul appealed to the judgment seat of Caesar, which was that Caesar happened to be Nero, and if people remember Nero, of the story of fiddling while Rome burned, and the Nero that persecuted and killed Christians, he literally impaled them on stakes and set them on fire and lighted his gardens with burning Christians. And that's the same Nero that Paul appealed to. Well, it was before he started doing those things, of course. But still, he was a pagan ruler of a pagan empire, the Roman Empire. And Paul was a Roman citizen by birth, even though he was Jewish. He was a freeborn Roman citizen, and he used his Roman citizenship, and he appealed to the judgment seat of Caesar because the Jews were trying to kill him, basically. So, we understand that governments and government rulers are not going to be perfect, and it's like I told people during the election, we weren't electing the pastor of the United States. And one could argue, when have we ever had a perfect man run for government office? We never have. They've all had flaws.
Yeah.
Every president we've ever had since George Washington on down had flaws, some worse than others, obviously. So we try to find the candidate that's going to get elected that will be either the least detrimental or the most advantageous to our views as Christians. And I believe that candidate in this particular election was Donald Trump.
That's so. Exactly why I bring that up,
mm-hmm.
Because I voted for Trump as well. The reason why I'm struggling with this is because even people within our own circle of Christianity are so divided. There was someone who I knew who I worship with and I pray with and I'm on the team with, and it shocked me that they voted for someone who, as you had just said, was antithesis to God's standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really hard time with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, yeah, and
deciding that decision.
Yeah, and I've had people ask me, they've said, why does my pastor tell us to vote for somebody who stands against the things that our church believes in? And
right.
And I said, well, I guess that's a question you'll have to ask your pastor. I mean, if you're pro-life, why are you telling people to vote for somebody who's not? You know, and yeah, Trump said some terrible things and some hurtful things, but I've said it on the air before, and I'll probably say it again. He said things that hurt people's feelings, and his opponent Hillary Clinton said things that caused people to die. Benghazi was one of those situations where she said things that caused people to die. There's no way of getting around that. You know, anybody that's looked into that, and so you know, both of them have lied. Both of them have used foul language. You know, you can go on and on and on. And so you have to look at it. Which one is going to help further our cause? Now, the election is over, okay?
Right.
And we need to realize the Bible says the arm of flesh is going to fail you. I mean, you know, you can't trust in governments. You can't trust in man. If we rely on men to do everything for us, we're going to be disappointed. And it doesn't matter. We could have elect a born-again Christian to the White House that's never done anything wrong that we know of, that everybody loves. And he's still going to fail us in some way because he's a man. And the only one who's not going to fail us is God, and God didn't run for any public offices. And so what we have to do now. And I did not vote for Barack Obama in 2012, and I didn't vote for him in 2008. But over the last, nearly 8 years now, our church has prayed pretty much every Sunday for President Obama. There are some churches that and some pastors that, you know, they didn't vote for him. And I think about the only thing they might have prayed for him is that his life would be short and not prosperous. And we didn't pray for that. We've been praying for 8 years or so that he would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would listen to the Bible and listen to godly counsel from godly men and women. Now, that's what we've prayed. And I think if somebody is in a church and you're not happy with President-elect Trump, then we still have the responsibility to pray for those who are elected over us. And if we pray for our leaders, we pray that we'll have, you know, peace, that we'll have safety, that we'll have the ability to continue to preach the Word of God and be a witness and a testimony. I mean, my prayer has been that I'd be able to continue doing this radio program and things like that. You know, when you have a candidate that says that if I don't agree with them, I have to have my views changed, and somehow I'm deplorable if I don't agree with her. You know, you can see where I was in a position where I was concerned about my free speech rights on the radio in the future had Hillary gotten elected. But she didn't. I believe God intervened. I believe that God allowed, just as God allowed Donald Trump to be elected, I believe he allowed Barack Obama to be elected. And I think because of the election of Barack Obama, Christians in this country finally came together. And it's really, I believe, because of the prayers of God's people and the huge turnout of evangelicals in this election beyond what they have in the last several presidential elections, that God blessed and God raised up somebody other than somebody whose positions, stated positions, were very much in opposition to his word. So, yeah. So and so we pray for each other. I have friends and family members that did not vote for Donald Trump, and some of them did not vote for Hillary Clinton either. Some of them voted for third-party candidates. Some of them did not vote for president at all. Yeah. And I remember we had somebody during the elections where I'm at that started to fill out their ballot, and they brought their ballot back and said, I just can't vote. And they wouldn't even vote for part of the things on the ballot. They just said, it's just too much for me. I can't vote. And they left. They never voted. And so you look at things like that, and we pray for each other. You know, I think one thing that some Christians have lost sight of is we're supposed to be long-suffering. We're supposed to love one another. And even when we disagree with each other, we're supposed to disagree in love and not trash each other and try and tear each other down. You know, it's one thing to point out, you know, scriptural error and, moral failures and things like that. It's another thing to just badmouth people and trash them because you don't agree with them. And yeah, and it's like I have one friend out of state who voted third party because he just could not find a way in his heart that he could, in all honesty, vote for Donald Trump and feel that he was right with God. Actually, I have a couple friends in a couple different states that were kind of like that. Now, I have no animosity towards it. I just disagreed with their philosophy. I disagreed with their line of thinking. And so I prayed for them, and I'm sure they prayed for me because they didn't agree with my thinking either. But,
right.
You know, I have no grudge against them. And even if Hillary had won, I might have felt that they had been partly to fault, but I wouldn't have had a grudge against them because ultimately, you know, the Bible, they talk about, you know, the lot of, you know, the casting of the lot. I can't remember how the verse goes is in the Lord's hands, basically, which means ultimately God's going to determine the outcome. And Daniel said it in Daniel chapter 10, that God raises up kings and tears kings down. And so we ultimately, we look to him, but God expects us to be involved. He expects us to try. And had God's people not come together in prayer like they did in this past election, I do really believe that God would allow a different result, a dramatically different result. But I do think because God's people prayed, God responded. And in some ways, I think we got the president that we don't deserve rather than the president that we deserve. Because, you know, our nation's been just, you know, just on a downhill slide away from God, seems like faster and faster, and all kinds of moral depravity and things. And yet, you know, God intervened, I believe. And now, does that mean we as Christians can sit on our chairs and relax now and say, well, the election's over, don't have to worry about it for another 4 years? Absolutely not. I think it's more important than ever that Donald Trump's elected. We pray that God holds his feet to the fire, that God puts a fire in his heart. If he's not saved, that he gets saved. And there's persistent stories out there that Donald Trump got saved last winter. And I hope and pray that that's true. And so if he is, you know, we need to pray for him that he would mature as a Christian and seek godly advice. I do know one thing. He surrounded himself with more godly individuals than any candidate I can remember meet in recent memory. And not only did he surround himself with them, he actually asked questions and listened to them. You know, I had somebody tell me that in South Carolina, 4 years ago, when Mitt Romney's team came into South Carolina for the primaries, gentleman was a born-again Christian. He was the chair of the South Carolina Republican Party, Chad Connolly. And he said that the Romney group didn't want anything to do with them. And they just rolled their eyes when he tried to, you know, get them to talk with Christians and things. They wanted nothing to do with the Christians. And that was his team. And, you can see what happened at the election. A lot of Christians, millions of Christians, didn't even go to vote. So, and he lost. So, we saw a great victory, I think. And we need to keep praying. We need to pray, like I said, that God holds Donald Trump's feet to the fire and it puts a fire in his heart if he's truly saved. And if he's not saved, that he'll come under conviction and he'll put his faith in Christ as his Savior, and then allow God to guide him and direct him in his presidency. So,
Yes, sir. I think this is our last chance to pull this country out of a nosedive.
It may very well be. I mean, you know, I'm a premillennial, pre-tribulational person in regards to the Lord coming back for us prior to the tribulation and the millennial reign of Christ and all of that. We know that things will get bad during that time, but, you know, hey, God may be giving us just a little one last reprieve that we can reach out and hopefully reach more people before he comes for us. So we live in exciting times, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So,
and I thank you so much for shedding a little bit more light on this situation.
Well, and thank you for bringing that up. And I know we're, you know, a little past the election now, a month past the election and all, but it is important to remind people that what happened and to not stop praying and to stay involved. And so I appreciate you bringing that up there tonight.
Anytime, sir. My pleasure. Thank you for answering that question. And I just, you know, pray that God blesses everything that you do. Thank you for your show.
Well, thank you, Aaron. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. And I appreciate you bringing that up tonight. And let me just segue into that something real quick here at the end. And in Ohio, and a lot of our listeners are here in Ohio, there's a bill at the State House right now in Ohio, Ohio House Bill 286, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act. The bill was in committee, bottled up in committee since last May, I believe, and there's been pressure from the governor's office, Speaker of the House, and such to keep it there in response to the homosexual lobby. And this bill is a bill that protects pastors, churches, and religious organizations, such as like church camps and schools in Ohio, from being sued if they refuse to do a homosexual or a same-sex marriage, I should say, or allow their facilities to be used to celebrate same-sex marriages. And it just simply protects them. If they have a sincerely held religious belief against it, they're not going to be forced to violate that belief. And it provides a level of legal protection for pastors and churches and religious organizations in Ohio. There's similar bills been passed in other states, and if you're not in Ohio, chances are there's one or a similar one has been brought up in your state house. But this is finally out of committee as of last week. And if you do live in Ohio, it's important to contact your state representative, because this current House session ends this coming week. I think maybe Thursday might be the last day of the week. So it's got to get a floor vote. And if it doesn't get a floor vote, it dies. And then in January, they have to start the whole process all over again. And this has taken a long time to get to this point. So if you're in Ohio, you can go at ohiohouse.gov and you can find out who your state representative is. You can send them an email for that. You can find their phone number for that. And you can check out our Facebook page, Live with Pastor Al. I've got some information there on that. And so check that out. And if you're not in Ohio, pray for us. It's a common sense thing, and there's really nothing in there that's discriminatory. It probably has the votes if it gets to the floor, but there's a lot of effort to kill it now before it gets to the floor. So pray for that. Ohio House Bill 286, the Ohio Pastor Protection Act. Another thing I wanted to mention here as well, pray for the people recovering from the fires in Tennessee. You know, it's been something there. Maybe you saw the page of the Bible that was found unburned from Joel chapter 2, where it talks about in verse 19, O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. The flames had burned all the trees of the field. Rather interesting, isn't it? The guy that found that, he said he was just so overcome. He put it on Facebook, and I linked it on our Facebook page, I believe, already at Live with Pastor Al. You can check that out there. Just Google the Bible from the Tennessee fires, and it really is kind of amazing, the passage that survived. Well, I want to thank you for listening. Hope you'll join us again next time. We're out of time here tonight. God bless, and have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.